Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, super important episode. Stop what you're doing and listen to every word of this. You are going to love it. But before we get into it, please consider supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. At charliekirk.com/support, that is your portal to help support us. Our team, our researchers, our editors, the travel costs, everything around the production of the Charlie Kirk Show. You know, with all the cancellation and all the bad guys coming after people that are trying to tell the truth, when you support us at charliekirk.com/support, you are saying no to cancel culture. You are saying no to the digital assassins. You are saying yes to this program. And if you say to yourself, boy, I want millions of more people to listen to this program. I just wish my kids, my grandkids, my neighbors, and more students would hear what this show has to say. That's where it all is made possible, at charliekirk.com/support. As always, you can email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. Action-packed episode, everybody. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for emailing us. And also, get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com. Can't forget that. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage. For personalized loan services you can count on, go to andrewandtodd.com, the wonderful andrewandtodd.com. There's so many different type of topics that I want to cover here. And I want to cover this one, which is the Whoopi Goldberg thing. So apparently Whoopi's name is really Karen. Is that right? I miss old Whoopi. I do. Old Whoopi was awesome. Do you know that she was in Star Trek? The Next Generation. Her name was like Gion or something, I want to say. Is that right? Do we have any Trekkies in there? You could look it up. Guinan. Yeah, I wasn't too far off. That's right. With Jean-Luc Picard and the Next Generation. Just Whoopi used to be someone that was like fun and magnanimous and just kind of an American icon, honestly. Had a very distinct name and a great way about her. But she's kind of descended into the same sort of character arc of Oprah. And I'm not gonna racialize this, but they racialize it. But Whoopi and Oprah were two beloved black women of the 1990s. And Whoopi and Oprah were stories of perseverance, at least Oprah. I don't know Whoopi's personal story. And of talent. They're both obviously very talented. Whoopi Goldberg was excellent in Sister Act and Color Purple. But what happened to Whoopi Goldberg and Oprah? And both are super rich. I mean, Oprah is really rich. How rich is Oprah now? How rich is Oprah? $2.7 billion? Yeah, that's a lot. And Oprah started from absolutely nothing, and she's built an amazing career for herself. 1980s and 1990s Oprah, she was charming. She was fun. She was fair. She was honest. $3.5 billion, okay. She had her whole deal in downtown Chicago, which was Harpo Studios. And Oprah has just turned into a surprisingly nasty person. And so has Whoopi Goldberg. I don't know. Maybe someone can explain it to me how the more successful they get, the meaner they get. So Whoopi Goldberg comes out and she argues that the Holocaust is not about race. Yeah, Whoopi, it was kind of only about race. I hate to put it. It's not just that you're wrong. It's the opposite of the truth. It was completely and totally about racial hierarchy and superiority and judgments via race. It was the whole deal. It wasn't like a small component about it. It was the mission statement. The mission statement was to organize society based on racial preferences. Now, we would never organize America based on racial preferences, right? We would never do such a thing as that, nor would we teach people to care about skin color. But what I think Whoopi is talking about is actually very revealing into the mind of a rich, angry, aging black woman. which is they don't think it's about race if it doesn't involve black people. Now, someone should inform Whoopi Goldberg that Hitler, who ran the National Socialist Workers' Party, had ambitions to go try and conquer and colonize Northern Africa and replicate Holocaust-style concentration camps all across Africa. In fact, some of the first combat theaters of World War II were actually occurred in Libya and North Africa. Mainly that was United Kingdom and American troops fighting Italian troops, but there were some epic and historic and some courageous battles that happened in North Africa. That's correct. That was George S. Patton, who I think it was like Tunisia, Libya, Algeria in particular, I know. So the Italian Mussolini types went down and they took over a lot of Northern Africa. And this was for attempted global conquest. And absolutely was about race. So listen to Whoopi Goldberg arguing that the Holocaust is somehow not about race. Play cut 28.
Well, also, if you're going to do this, then let's be truthful about it, because the Holocaust isn't about race.
No.
It's not about
maybe
race.
It's about a different race.
But it's not about race. It's not about race.
What is it about?
Because it's about man's inhumanity to man. That's what it's about.
But it's about white supremacy.
But these are two Romans. White groups of people.
Well, that was after black people,
too. They didn't see them as white people.
But you're missing the point. The minute you turn it into race, it goes down this alley. Let's talk about it for what it is. It's how people treat each other.
Look, Do I think her career should be ended over that? No, but I don't think she ever should be taken seriously after that. She has apologized. I'm going to be careful the way I go after this, because I actually think she believed what she was saying. And I think that's actually an interesting point. I don't think that she was trying to be cute. I actually think she believed that the National Socialist Workers' Party were not trying to engage in racial hierarchy. Well, then she went on Colbert and basically doubled down on it. And there's all this – I don't want to get into all this – whether or not Jews are a race or not, it's irrelevant. You know why? The National Socialist Worker Party viewed them as a race. So it doesn't matter what you think. It's what they thought. They were trying to cleanse humanity in an evil, unspeakable way of what they consider to be impure racial groups. Now, why did Hitler invade Russia? Hitler had a pathological obsession with Kazakhs and Slavs, believing that they were an impure bloodline. Whoopi Goldberg is livid, threatening to quit The View over her suspension. Now, what I think Whoopi Goldberg was trying to say is that the Holocaust was not about black people. I think that's actually what she was trying to say. If I were her defense attorney, which I would never do, I was trying to say that Whoopi Goldberg used words that she didn't mean, but the essence was that she was trying to say that it wasn't about black people, even though some of the most extensive writings of the National Socialist Workers' Party, if you go read their literature, Whoopi Goldberg, was the harshest towards black people. I mean, you want to talk about the literature that talks about the dehumanization? I don't even feel comfortable talking about this on air. I'll be very honest with you. But there's literature that you could go through that talked about features of blacks versus whites, and for one reason, size of brains. All that stuff came out of the garbage of the National Socialist Workers' Party. It just shows her lack of education. Blacks from the Nazi regime were discriminated against and persecuted constantly. Some black people in Germany and German-occupied areas were isolated. An unknown number were sterilized, incarcerated, or murdered. And there were ambitions to do that all across the world. Do I think that Whoopi's career should be over? I don't know. I really don't. I'm not really big into that. I think she said something so laughably wrong that she should definitely be corrected. I mean, some of the defenses of Whoopi Goldberg are just unspeakable. It really is. So how's your new year going so far? Pretty good, I hope. But it's been tough, hasn't it? Lots of us have begun to wake up and smell the roses. And some of us have smelt coffee instead. All of us are now realizing how quick time is rushing past. You're that much closer to retirement and that much closer to not earning. But in the meantime, you've got some catching up to do. With crypto and markets very risky right now, and inflation running anywhere between 8 to 20%, and conservatively it's 8%, where are you going to keep your money to keep up and beat it? You might want to talk to an expert at Noble Gold and run through the options for keeping your money safe. No pressure, no hassle, and no call centers. This month, Noble Gold is giving away a free 1/10 of an ounce solid gold American Eagle coin with any qualifying plan that you start. So just speak to someone who knows what they're talking about for once. How good would that feel? Call us at 877-646-5347 or visit our website at noblegoldinvestments.com. That's noblegoldinvestments.com. Dawn says, should her career be over? No, this is a great teaching opportunity to show how even people who put themselves forward as being so knowledgeable and smart can make mistakes and need a shift in perspective. I actually think I agree with that. I do. I don't think she should be, quote unquote, canceled. But oh my goodness, I will say this though. If I would, could you imagine if I would have said something like that on a television show? We would be losing advertisers everywhere. Has the Anti-Defamation League gone after Whoopi Goldberg? Of course not. Are you kidding me? And she's doubled down on it, basically. Effectively doubled down on it. All right. Lots of stories we can get to here. We have Dinesh coming up in the next segment. We did that one. We're getting a lot of questions about Ukraine. Yeah, let's play cut 90. Let's finish the point on Whoopi. Play cut 90 of Whoopi defending herself on Colbert. Cut 90.
It wasn't. They had issues with ethnicity, not with race, because most of the Nazis were white people and most of the people they were attacking were white people. So to me, I'm thinking, how can you say it's about race if you are fighting each other? So it all really began because I said, how will we explain to children what happened in Nazi Germany? This wasn't racial. This was about white on white. And everybody said, no, it was racial. And so that's what this all came from.
There's one other story I want to talk. It's so ridiculous what Whoopi Goldberg is saying. So there's one other story I want to say here. We're going to test whether or not Media Matters is watching this. It seems that we have a pattern of talking about Olympians and getting ourselves in trouble. What do you think, Connor? My wife made me aware of this story last night, and I could not believe it. The name Eileen Gu should be a household name. Eileen Gu is or was an American. She was born in San Francisco. Eileen Gu was trained by Americans, trained with Americans, was going to be on the American team. She's 15 years old. And the coverage of this is nauseating. ESPN, free ski star Eileen Gu's delicate balancing act between China and America. Eileen Gu is trying to soar over the geopolitical divide. Olympian Eileen Gu, born in America and was an American, has just renounced her American citizenship and said she is going to go ski for China, a country she was not born in. Her mother was born in. Eileen Gu is now a Chinese-American freestyle skier in half-pipe, slopestyle, and big air, and literally renounced her American citizenship. Born in San Francisco, she enrolled at Auburn University and Rockefeller University. Her mother, Yan Gu, was at Auburn and Rockefeller. She intends to enroll at Stanford. Well, they love Chinese exchange students at Stanford, so that won't be a problem. But Eileen Yu decided to tell America and Team USA, thanks for raising me. Thanks for investing in me. I'm going to go ski for our greatest enemy, the Chinese Communist Party. Eileen Gu is a traitor to the United States. Eileen Gu should be banned from ever re-entering the United States. Eileen Gu should have her visa, her passport, and entry into the country forbidden. If you are raised in America, where you learn to ski here, you are trained by Americans with American values, and then you renounce your American citizenship to go chase more dollars and prestige in the Chinese Communist Party, you are not welcome here. It will send a clear signal to other athletes and people, pick your side. Gu is now a Chinese freestyle skier. According to her official profile, the athlete was born and raised in California by an American father and a Chinese mother. Is she being paid by Chinese Communist Party intelligence services? Is she getting money under the table? Well, similar to when the Soviet Union used to pick off people here and there, they should not be welcome. They should be forbidden. It is athletic treason. Do you think your homeowner's insurance covers home title fraud? Well, think again. And neither does your common identity theft programs. The FBI calls title fraud, home title fraud, one of the fastest growing crimes in the country, which is why you need to go to HomeTitleLock.com, America's leader in home title protection. So here's the issue. The deed to your home is the only document that proves you own it. And the deed to all your homes are online now. In minutes, a criminal could find and forge your name off the deed to your home and refile it as the new owner. Like Jeff, who spent a fortune in legal fees after a thief forged himself onto the deed to Jeff's home and took out loans. Jeff didn't have Home Title Lock then, but he does now. Or Deborah, who thought her common identity theft service would protect her after a criminal got onto the deed to her new home and had her evicted. Deborah has Home Title Lock now. HomeTitleLock.com is your peace of mind that the deed to your home is protected. Visit HomeTitleLock.com. That's HomeTitleLock.com. Check it out right now. HomeTitleLock.com. 2,000 meals. I got to tell you, I spent 5 or 6 hours the other day with my friend Dinesh D'Souza going through the evidence of his upcoming movie. And I was just completely blown away. And I'm going to let him describe it as much as he's comfortable with because I don't want to break any of the kind of privacy agreements we had before all this stuff goes public. But it's truly extraordinary. With us is Dinesh D'Souza, who is the man behind the upcoming movie 2,000 Mules, which I believe is the smoking gun that shows that there was a coordinated, funded, illegal ballot collecting network in the key states. Dinesh, welcome back to the Charlie Kirk Show.
Hey, Charlie. It's a real pleasure. Great to join you. And of course, it was fun to see you in California with some of the rest of the Salem gang. And it was thrilling, really, to present some of this evidence and allow people, you know, people who have different views on what happened in 2020, to process it, to take it on board, and then to discuss it.
Absolutely. So however you are comfortable, walk our audience through what you found and how you found it. We'll go from there.
Well, let me start with a little bit of background. I think that going back to 2020, I've been a little bit silent on the issue of election fraud, in part because you've had these two camps which seem to have no meeting point, in fact, no ability to talk to each other. On the left, the sort of grandiose assertion that this was the most secure election in history. And then on the right, a series of suspicions and intuitions and accusations and probabilities and a lot of stuff flying all over the place, but nothing that is systematic, comprehensive, well-presented enough that a reasonable person could go, there it is, there's the evidence I've been looking for, that's how I know my intuition is right. So I think that conservatives and Republicans have been really frustrated because we sort of feel that something went deeply wrong in 2020, but we've been unable to kind of put our finger on it. And I think you and I have been kind of in the same camp where we would say we suspect, but we're unable to assert election fraud because election fraud has not yet been proven.
Well, and this is so important, Dinesh, and you and I talked about this at great length because millions of Americans know that something is wrong, right? They just haven't really been able to pinpoint it. They know it in their gut. They know it in their soul. But there's just all this information out there. So, Dinesh, talk about how you decided to focus on something very specific. I was really struck by that in our time together. It's that it wasn't talking about machines. It wasn't talking about all these other different things. It was really specific about evidence that you were presented about a coordinated illegal ballot harvesting network of multiple visits to drop boxes, which is against Georgia law. We went through that in the filming many times. Like, just to remind people, this is not just unethical, it is illegal. Talk about how you decided to really create, almost like with a sniper-like focus, tell this story.
Well, there has been a lot of reports of fraud in absentee balloting going back many election cycles. But absentee balloting in the past was a pretty small fraction of the overall ballots. And so unless the election was, you know, essentially a tie, the absentee balloting didn't generally make a difference. But what happened in the COVID environment, of course, is a massive expansion to mail-in balloting and giant numbers of mail-in ballots just flying all over the place. And then also the emergence of all these drop boxes. Drop boxes, very often privately funded drop boxes, unsupervised drop boxes that are just sitting there all over the place and heavily concentrated in Democratic cities. So my wife is very good friends with a woman named Catherine Engelbrecht, who has an organization called True the Vote. True the Vote was started in 2010. It's probably, well, it's one of the premier voter integrity organizations in the country. I know that you know Catherine and have known her for years. Yes. And but I met her, I had known of her, but I met her through Debbie. And we've gotten to know her pretty well. And so we were able to sit down with True the Vote and review some research that they were doing. And they wanted me to sort of evaluate the significance of it. And of course, the question I was asking myself is, you know, is this evidence from like one place? Like, is it all from Georgia? And if so, it would be interesting, but insufficient, because evidence from one state wouldn't, in fact, be enough to tip the election. We'd be talking about corruption in one place. But fortunately, True the Vote has done their work in all the key states. And they focused on the heavily Democratic areas, Fulton County, Georgia. They focused on Maricopa County in Arizona, also in the Detroit area of Michigan, the Milwaukee area of Wisconsin, and then the greater Philadelphia area in Pennsylvania. And using really two things. One is geo-tracking. Geo-tracking is basically cell phone tracking. And cell phone tracking is very useful because if you're able to process the data, you can actually see these so-called mules. Mules are kind of paid vote traffickers. Mules are people who come to ballot boxes very often at night. They come using gloves so that they don't leave any fingerprints. They take photos of themselves so that they can get paid for the ballots that they're dumping. They make multiple trips to multiple drop boxes. So there is no question in any of the state of these states that we are witnessing illegal activity, even in areas where it was temporarily allowed to do, quote, vote harvesting. In no area is it legal to be paid to deliver votes to a mail-in drop box. You can't be paid to do that in any. And the other thing is, a lot of these mules are coming from nonprofit centers, which are 501c3 organizations, which means they're prohibited from election activity. These are people that have a tax exemption from the IRS conditioned upon them not getting directly involved in electioneering. So you're basically seeing violations left and right and a coordinated ring of corruption, and the evidence for it is decisive.
So Dinesh, please interrupt me if I kind of break the privacy barrier, because I know that we were really clear about it. Questions that people have been asking me is, how did they get the cell phone data? I said you're going to have to watch the movie because it's very, very interesting how that was obtained. But Dinesh, what I saw was so stunning of one mule in particular who made 25 stops in one evening all across the Atlanta area. And people might say, how do you know that? Well, it's because of the collection of the pings that a cell phone gives off. And you'll be able to tell that story in the movie. We're going to kind of leave people in suspense because that's one of the things I think is super interesting. But also, Dinesh, they were going back and forth between these NGOs, these nonprofits, and then going to ballot drop boxes. Now, Dinesh, this evidence is so compelling that because of what was presented, Atlanta officials are now looking in a criminal capacity towards this activity. Is that correct?
Yes. The beauty of using a kind of dual standard, by dual standard, I mean, on the one hand, the geo-tracking, and the geo-tracking comes with cell phone IDs. So you know whose cell phone it is. But it's a whole different matter to have geo-tracking plus video. Now, Georgia is one of the areas where there is video available. We don't have all the video, but we have a great deal of it. We've also gotten video from one other state, and we might get video from a third state. But the beauty of video is if you can match, you know, it's one thing for me to say, I saw Charlie Kirk's cell phone at 15 different drop boxes. But then if I turn to the video and there's you, Charlie, with a satchel coming on your bicycle or walking up to a drop box, then you have, you know, the ratification, the confirmation. There's the cell phone. So in a sense, the cell phone is sort of like a fingerprint or like a DNA marker. And then you see the guy actually breaking into the bank and doing the heist. And it becomes very difficult at that point to argue that that's the guy.
So, Dinesh, we explored this a little bit in our time together. What's going to be the argument the regime media makes against this? Let's try to anticipate it so we could shore up our defenses to make sure this does penetrate the zeitgeist effectively.
Well, it's possible to make some. The first thing that the left will try to do, and so far they've been doing this to our trailer, which you can watch on my Rumble channel. You can also watch it on the website, which is just 2000mules.com. Dead silence about the trailer so far. I mean, think about it. On a subject as sensitive as this, namely voter fraud, there's normally like 40 fact checks that appear, you know, within 24 hours. Not a single fact check. No one has said this evidence is wrong. This, you know, Dinesh shot this video himself. You know, this is official surveillance video obtained through public records, through the Freedom of Information Act. The government has this video itself. They probably just haven't taken the trouble to look through it. Why? Because there's just thousands and thousands of hours of video. We ourselves have 4 million minutes of video. So think about this. You know, to the people who would look at the trailer and say, wow, that's disturbing, but, you know, I only see like 30 or 40 seconds of video. Well, wait for the movie. The movie is going to absolutely overwhelm you with video evidence. And of course, I'm going to put another archive of evidence up on the movie website. So this is going to be very hard to dispute. The left will try its usual kind of obfuscations. Hey, look at that guy dropping stuff in a box. Maybe he's just sending mail off to a bunch of his friends. No, this is not a U.S. post office mailbox. This is a election ballot drop box specifically set up for ballots. What's so surprising? Yes, the guy is, you know, he's doing it at 3 o'clock in the morning. And yes, he has gloves, but, you know, maybe he's worried about COVID. I mean, it's possible to think of things, but once you begin to see the accumulation of this evidence, the preposterousness of those kinds of refutations becomes apparent. Obviously, there'll be questions, well, how did you get the cell phone data? And all I want to say at this stage is, listen, you know, this cell phone data has now become ubiquitous. When you walk into CVS and you get a notification mm-hmm. that they're having a sale, or you're approaching the Apple store, or even the Weather Channel is sending you notifications, that's because they know where you are. They are tracking your phone because of countless apps that are in your phone that are basically giving away your location. And all of this data mm-hmm. is aggregated, and it is accessible. In fact, companies buy it all the time. That's how they're able to use it for law enforcement uses it to solve crimes. The same kind of geo-tracking data was used to get bin Laden. So this is something I think that people are now familiar with, and it's a very persuasive type
of
evidence.
It's brilliant. Some people are going to say, Dinesh, Charlie, I've heard it all, okay? I watched all these videos. I was told there was all this evidence. What makes this different, and what's actually going to happen because of this?
Well, that's a good question, and I confess that to a little bit of you know, almost it took me a lot to get into this project for this exact reason. I felt that the ground had already been covered disappointingly in many ways, and that people would be weary and our side would be a little demoralized by all this, not to mention the fact that this is a topic in which, you know, the regime of censorship descends upon you unforgivingly. And so it was it's a risky topic to get into. And therefore, the standard I set for myself was really simple. I'm not looking here for the kind of evidence that is a maybe or even a probably. I also want to approach this not so much in a kind of shouting, triumphant manner, but rather exposition. Here is what we know. Here is what we don't know. And let the viewer, let the person watching the movie or reading my book be the jury. And I think that's the spirit in which we're going to do this documentary. It's going to be all the more powerful because if we say something, we're going to prove it to you. We're going to show it to you. You don't have to sort of take it on faith. And the beauty of having video evidence, particularly for a movie, is just thrilling because a movie is a visual experience. And at some point, even if you have DNA evidence and even if you have the sort of fingerprint evidence, you're like, yeah, but, you know, can I actually see the murderer in the act? Can I catch him in the act and see him actually doing? And the answer in this thrillingly is yes, you can. And we can show it to you not just once or twice, but we can show it to you again and again and again and again and again.
I say this with no exaggeration. Dinesh, we were there for at least 4 hours, and we spent at least an hour and a half on the evidence, and we could have spent another 10 hours going through every single one of the – I mean, it's millions of minutes of footage that has been condensed down, but there were at least 1,000 files that you were basically like, pick anyone. This one. How about this one? And all of a sudden, I was like, oh, wow, that person's walking up with latex gloves on, puts the ballots in, and then takes the latex gloves off and throws them in the trash. So I don't know if it's COVID-related, but, I mean, maybe they didn't want their fingerprints on it, right? And so go ahead.
Charlie, what makes this so telling is that there was a case in Arizona where some indictments were brought down because some ballot harvesters had left their fingerprints. And literally days after that was revealed publicly, we see mules in our surveillance video wearing gloves. It's almost like the bad guys realize, wait a minute, you know, those guys got busted on the fingerprints. We better put on the gloves. So there is actually a chronological tie. You can see in the earlier videos, no gloves, then the Arizona case. And then, wow, there are the gloves.
And then the other one is the pictures of ballots, taking pictures of ballots, which is almost to prove where the goods are. So people have asked me privately as I've told them about this. They say, Charlie, what are the next steps? What are all this? Well, Dinesh, I think first we just have to tell the story, right? We have to move the Overton window. And I also think it's going to validate millions of Americans that have known something has happened and they've been looking for the proof. They've been looking for the evidence. And when you start to see geolocated cell phone data, like a fingerprint of pings that are coming off of a cell phone that visit 25 drop boxes in one night and go to NGOs that are closely aligned to Stacey Abrams between 12 a.m. and 5 a.m. and overlay that with video footage that shows that they're taking off latex gloves and putting lots of ballots in a box. I mean, that would make the Zapruder film look like a fuzzy, you know, kind of piece of history. How could people support the film? When does it come out? Calls to action.
It's going to be released in probably the third or fourth week of April. I'm still trying to figure out what is the best way to release it. Theaters aren't fully back. That's why I think it's important. Go to 2000mules.com. If you sign up for the email, no one will be able to censor this. I will have direct communication with you. I think this is going to be huge and it's going to make a huge difference, but it begins with simply getting the truth out there so that what happened in 2020 becomes undeniable.
2000mules.com. I've seen the evidence. I haven't talked about all of it. I've been very disciplined, Dinesh, because I want people to watch the movie. It is unbelievable. And you've done a great job, Dinesh. We're here to help promote it, and we want to help move the Overton window. It's good for the country. Thank you so much, Dinesh. 2000mules.com. Talk to you soon. Thank you. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to support our show, go to charliekirk.com/support. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.